It's time for JT the Brick.
Reset the show. This is the home of the Raider Nation, where Raider fans have a voice on this. I love putting fans on the radio. I love hearing emotion. I love hearing passion. I love hearing people, if they're critical or they're happy, whatever there is, I like to hear people to know I'm on the radio, not guests if they're listening and wondering if they're out there. And hopefully I bring that to the radio show. Fandom, fandemonium, getting people excited about sports.
JT the Brick.
I care about going to games and winning games. That is it. I like to pause, have a sip of water, and talk to a Raider fan, either in a chat or over the phones, who has something smarter to say than I do, which many do. More knowledgeable fans than me, I admit that. More passionate fans than me? Yeah, there's a number of them. But I'm the gateway to getting everybody in here to let it rip. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, welcome in, everybody, as we get rolling today on a busy day on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM and the Raiders mobile app. We got a lot to get to. We're going to do an hour today. I'm over at Virgin Hotels right downtown, the former Hard Rock. They're having a cool little convention called CCon today, and I'm going to be emceeing a panel discussion, and that's coming up at 1:20. So a short show for me today. In and out here, back for a full show tomorrow. And tomorrow we will finish our honorable mentions as we count down to the top 10 Raider games of all time. So tomorrow's a big day. We're going to have one more game left in our honorable mention category, where there's probably five or six other games that you probably would have liked to have heard about, but we knew we had to time this out right. And then when we go out next week to Costa Mesa, we'll start with the top 10, and that'll be part of our programming. As I was on a conference call today, a little meeting this morning, we got some really cool stuff happening out in Costa Mesa, because the show's going to start at noon, obviously, Pacific time zone for those who are listening on the app and back east, and practice ends at noon. So I'm hoping that we're able to thread the needle and get some players on live or some coaches on live as we're in Costa Mesa, and if not, we'll have the sound of the players talking at the podium. Q Myers will be there, Vinny Bonsignor, and this is a big deal for us. It's the first time that Raider Nation Radio and training camp, right, because they built the facility out here. Training camp's been here. But I used to do this all the time when I was up in the Bay Area on Ticket 1050, or if it was 95.7 the game, we would do the preseason or camp up in Napa. And I loved it. I loved it because you never knew what was going to happen. Got a chance to see practice. Got the players were coming over, really excited, their family day, whatever it was really good memories for me. So I'm excited about this, and I'm excited about our coverage and what we're going to do with much of our lineup being out there at Costa Mesa starting there next week. So that's what we're doing here. No YouTube today. We'll get back to our YouTube feed tomorrow. And then you had Home Run Derby last night, and the All-Star game is later on tonight. I love the All-Star game. I wanted to lead with that too. I'm an All-Star game guy. I grew up with it. It's part of my DNA as a young boy, young little leaguer with my dad as my coach. I remember having pool parties in the backyard, pizza, ice cream, and my friends would come over the house to watch the All-Star game. Oh my God, it takes me back to my youth. It was so cool because this was before the internet, this was before cell phones, and this was before interleague play. So the All-Star game meant so much to me as a young boy because I got a chance to see the National League. I was always an American League guy. I'm an American League guy. Love the American League because I'm a Yankee fan. And the only chance I would ever see the National League guys other than the World Series was in the All-Star game. So that will go on tonight. We have Summer League going on. My sons are going tonight to Summer League, which I'm really excited. And the session that I'm going to be the panel host on today at CCon, which is a combination. CCon's really interesting. I've had a couple of guests on to talk about it over the last month, but this is going to be really cool today because CCon is a sports, entertainment, and innovation convention where the world's leading sports, entertainment, and innovation leaders are going to gather together. Last night I went to the kickoff event. The Syracuse alumni are in town. This is association with UNLV. UNLV and their Sports Innovation Institute, and Syracuse University, the Falk College of Sports and Human Dynamics. You remember David Falk was Michael Jordan's agent. David Falk is one of the most powerful sports agents of all time, so he's giving the keynote speech right now that I'm missing. And I'm hosting a panel today, which will be really interesting, with Blaze Winter, former NFL defensive lineman of 11 years in the league, and a really unique guy. He was born with a cleft palate, and he was he had a really tough life. This kid, his mom forced him into football at a young age because he had medical problems. He was born part deaf. And this kid found football and then became the MVP and the captain of Syracuse's football team, went into an 11-year career in the NFL, and now he's a motivational speaker. So I've never met him before. I'm going to meet him and be the MC of this panel. And then the other guy on the panel, if you remember the movie Slapshot, one of the greatest sports movies of all time. If you've never seen Slapshot, everybody, go find it on YouTube. Go find it on Netflix. It's easy to find. Paul Newman, one of the greatest actors of all time. It's the greatest hockey movie ever made, Slapshot. And I'm going to be interviewing Dave Hansen, one of the Hansen brothers. If you know, you know who that is. So that's what I'm doing coming up here in an hour. So I got to go through this hour quickly. And then top of the hour, I'm going to have a best of. Bobby's going to put something together on some of the games that we just covered here as we set up our show tomorrow. Very quickly, again, false Davante Adams propaganda. Here it is again. The Get Up Show in the morning, Mike Greenberg. Nice guy, big time broadcaster. Mike Greenberg on his show, and the panel's laughing. They're all laughing about Davante Adams to the Jets. I can't make this up. I told you about Boomer Esiason yesterday. Fast forward today, only because Davante was on Netflix receivers, was on TV, everybody's seeing it. Davante wasn't happy last year for obvious reasons. His coach got fired, his GM got fired, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball in traffic and he kept getting blown up. So now New York media, in air quotes, New York media wants Davante Adams. Listen to Dan Orlovsky. This is from earlier today.
Yeah, I think Davante Adams plays for the Jets this season. So the reason why I say that is this. Have you watched Netflix, the receiver stuff?
Yes.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the frustration from Davante Adams? It's not that much better of a situation. One, the only reason it wouldn't happen, Greeny, is if he would feel bad about leaving Antonio Pierce, their new head coach. That's the only reason.
Antonio will be fine. He'll be fine.
Okay, but that the loyalty of a competitor to a coach. One, the Raiders don't matter until they get a quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. So at some point, you got to try to go get a quarterback. Number two, if you're the Jets, why would you not? Cool, it's going to cost you a first. You haven't won a Super Bowl ever, or in like 50-something years or something like that.
Yeah,
you've already gone all in. You have to make this work. If you don't win the Super Bowl, this is going to be one of the more disappointing acquisitions and runs and wasted talented teams that we've seen in the NFL in many years. This, I think this is a done deal. At some point, Davante Adams plays for the Jets this season.
So how do you want to deal with that? And I call it false Raider propaganda. Maybe one of our listeners can tweet at me at JT the Brick. How do I can really appreciate some suggestions here. What should I title? I don't have the right words, and I should. How do I title this false propaganda against the Raiders? Come up with a name for this. I'd really appreciate it, and I'll put it in social media. When the Chargers, when the Broncos, when the Jets do this to the Raiders. I call it false Raider propaganda, but that's too clunky. How do I describe the mainstream media when they kick the Raiders in the private area, try to stomp them to the curb, and bring up negativity with your Oakland, LA, and now Las Vegas Raiders? I mean that. I'll give you T-shirts. I'll get you koozies, whatever it is. Signed book, the handoff. I need someone to figure out how do we describe this garbage that continues to happen when it comes to the Raiders and the way they look at the Raiders and the media and the false narrative of the media there. So that's what we're going to be dealing with until Davante, and Davante was great on the show. Davante says he loves the Raiders, his wife. They're about to have their third child. It's going to be a boy. He's a girl dad. He's going to get a boy, which is unbelievable. What a blessing for Davante and his wife. And he loves it here. Loves it here. But in New York, they don't know that. Mike Greenberg doesn't know that Davante plays at Shadow Creek and at Wynn, plays golf and eats dinners, multiple dinners with Chef Barry down at Circa at Barry's Prime. He doesn't know that. No one knows that. I guess I'm one of the only guys who know this, that Davante loves it here. But this is starting to creep into the narrative that people are talking about what it will take cap hit wise and what it will take from the Jets to trade for Davante Adams. We heard this a little bit. Now there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire, and this is going to turn into something. So all the Raiders got to do is win. and we won't hear a word. If the Raiders don't win early in the season, I think they're going to win. I like the Raiders. I know they're going to beat Carolina. I'm having them the Super Bowl for us this year, for us season tickets. The Super Bowl is the Charger game. That's all I'm going to be talking about is the Charger game. Got to win that game. Not got to play well and lose. No, got to win that game. That will quiet everything down. If the Raiders don't get off to a good start, this could turn into a forest fire because the Jets and Mike Greenberg and Boomer Esiason and everybody in the New York media are going to be begging for Devontae Adams to go to the Jets, begging for it to happen in New York. And as I said yesterday, New York has far bigger media than we have here in Vegas, period. There's some good members of the media here in Vegas, but wink, wink, I think you know what I'm talking about. Vegas isn't New York. The other big breaking news today, Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the 49ers. Sources say, according to ESPN, Ayuk is entering the final year of his rookie contract and is slated to count $14.124 million against the salary cap. The wide receiver is coming off 75 receptions. Listen to this number, 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns. This is a hell of a player. Ayuk is very good. I don't think the Niners could be as good without Ayuk. Debo's always getting banged up. Debo is like a freight train. They hand him off the football all the time. I'll get to that in a second. And a heavy workload for Debo Samuels and George Kittle. And the reason why Kittle and Debo get open is because Ayuk, you can't double team him. Last month, he made headlines with a post to TikTok in which he told former Arizona State teammate and current Washington Commanders quarterback, our guy, who we were hoping to get, Jaden Daniels, that the 49ers told him they don't want me back. However, later last month, he told TMZ Sports that he wanted to stay with the 49ers. He wants to get paid. I think John Lynch is going to pay him. They got to find a way to take a look at the money, how much guaranteed money they're going to do. Whenever this happens, this close to training camp, as of today, you know that Ayuk will not show up for training camp. Debo Samuel said during the team's mini camp that he's been in regular contract with Ayuk throughout the offseason. So it's a slow time of year, but that's a pretty big NFL story because when you're this close to getting to the Super Bowl, and they get to the Super Bowl, they've lost two Super Bowls to Kansas City. San Francisco wants to go back. They want to go back in a big way, and they're not going to go back without Ayuk. They're not going to go back. And remember, T. Higgins is going to play on the tag coming up here in Cincinnati, and that's really going to hurt Cincinnati because T. Higgins likes to chirp. He likes to talk, and he is not happy with his scenario there. So a little bit of NFL to open up the show here as we get you going. It's trending out there. It's trending out there in a big way that Bronny's having a bad NBA summer league. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal at all. It's not the end of the world. But I just want to tell you this. He better hit some open shots here. He better hit a couple open shots because everybody is feasting on this in this NBA slow time. As the NBA, the Olympic team went to Dubai, they had a tough performance against Australia. That was not easy for them. And back here at Summer League, the big draw is Bronny James. And Bronny James is struggling. I'm a fan of Bronny. I want him to do well. I really want him to do well, but Bronny's going to have to hit shots. I can only wish him well. He's going to have to hit some shots overall and get it done. So those are a couple things I wanted to get into the monologue coming up. Pete Futak from College Football News. The Big 12 was just here. Pete Futak was here. Good guy. Missed out on him. Want to talk to him and see what's coming up here. So we'll jump into that. And then Chris Myers, my good friend from the NFL on Fox. Chris is a big name. Chris has got a new book coming out that you can pre-order. Whenever Chris Myers reaches out to me and wants to come on, I put him right on. We'll get to Chris Myers. Top of the hour, some best of programming as I'm heading down to Virgin Hotels. And I want to say this quickly to Cliff Atkinson, who's running Virgin now. And, you know, that's where my DNA, that's where I met my wife at the Hard Rock. If you look at all the properties here in town, the one that I've been closest to my entire time has been the Hard Rock, which is now Virgin. A lot of my friends work there, restaurants there. They work at the bars. I'm happy that they're back with us. They took a hiatus as they were going through a transition with management there, and Cliff came to us and said, JT, we love what you do, and they're back with us, which is not a new client for us, not a new partner. They're a long-term partner for us, but they're back, and we're going to do a big job for them. So here we go as we open it up here on a great day. Our countdown to the top 10 Raider games of all time continues tomorrow with our final honorable mention here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. We're back on Raider Nation Radio here on a great day today. Looking forward to a little bit less heat, man, over the weekend and yesterday, and we don't know what's going to happen, but it's been a crazy summer, a summer I'll never forget. Both of my sons are home. My oldest son doing well at work and looking to get out of the house and do some great things. He's traveling all the time, and my young son is ready to go back. Sooner than later, these kids go back to college so soon, back to his senior year at ASU. So my wife and I are really enjoying the opportunity of spending time with both of our sons here and wrapping up our summer, because the summer is nowhere over, but it is kind of for us as a family, as one's going back to college. I'm heading out to Costa Mesa next week, going to be out there a lot. Hopefully my wife will come out for a little bit of time there. And then the next thing you know, Raider preseason is going to jump on us. The preseason, three games. We'll have a little bit of time before the first regular season game. But the summer, this summer is one I won't forget, because we hit 120. We hit 120, and it's been hotter than any summer that I can remember since I moved here way back in 1996. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox is going to join us momentarily. He has a book out, and we'll talk to him coming up. Chris is one of my favorite people, one of the biggest broadcasters in all sports, and he frequently comes on my show. I got a new podcast coming out with Looney, JT and Looney. If you haven't dove into the podcast is something I'm really proud of. Tom Looney and I hosted 14 years together on Fox Sports Radio. That's a hell of a run, more than most of the people who are still at that network. And we kept our friendship alive and our work relationship alive podcasting. So I'd like you to download it if you can, JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast. There's a lot of podcasts out there. What we do is we try to do it every week, about 35, 40 minutes, topical sports. We'll choose a lot of other topics that we want to talk about, from Netflix to movies, a little bit of politics, but we don't dive that heavy into it, and current events. So new episode is loading up later today, JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast, as we continue on. All right, we got Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox, NASCAR on Fox. He was anchoring baseball the other night when I saw him there. And he's got a new book coming out, and I wanted to help him get some advanced sales going, like he helped me when my book, The Handoff, came out, which is still selling on Amazon.com. But it's not about me. It's about this guy, the great Chris Myers. Chris, good to catch up with you. It's been a while. How's your summer been so far?
It's been nice. It's been hot, but it's been enjoyable and a fun baseball season. Yeah, thanks for the mention on the book. If you're a Barnes & Noble member, you get a discount. It doesn't hit shelves till November, but you know all the wow moments in sports, and mm-hmm. you share those with people. That's essentially what it's about. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like looking at life through the lens of sports. Those wow, those good moments. You know, like Brady's great comeback in the Super Bowl, to be in the middle of that, and Mahomes' first Super Bowl with Andy Reid, or the, you know, baseball teams like the Red Sox, Cubs ending these decades of slumps. And then those moments that were disturbing, like O.J. Simpson, or being at an earthquake World Series, or an Olympic bombing, and then some fun moments. Bill Murray writes the foreword for us with Charles Barkley and Bill Murray. So you'll get to know some people maybe that a little bit more that we've talked about and observed through the years in sports.
Hey, Chris, is it because you've been doing it at a high level for so long that you've had a lot of those big wow moments? All of them aren't great for the athlete or the coach. Belichick after the Super Bowl, that was a massive interview. You mentioned O.J. Simpson sitting right across from you at the time. And when you have that many reps and you're working for ESPN throughout your career and Fox for such a long time, you're going to be in a situation to have a lot of those wow moments.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's one thing for a network to be assigned to cover a Super Bowl or a World Series, or have an interview show. But then when things go beyond sports, that get out of control, that you don't expect, what happens then and how people react. And there's some personal stuff in there, too, that I think shows that, you know, really celebrates the good people in sports. And there's always some tough moments and some adjustments. But in a way, and I was hesitant about doing, you know, a book like this, but HarperCollins approached and said, man, you've had 4 decades. You've got, a decade at ESPN, 20-plus at Fox, and then you had your years in local TV and some of the things and people that you've been around. We'd love to hear more about those stories. And a lot of these, JT, people remember where they were when they happened, like mm-hmm. the OJ, if you go back to that situation, or certainly that great Super Bowl comeback with Brady, the greatest ever at the time. It was the first overtime Super Bowl, and having to chase him down after, of course, the Deflategate and his mother going through an illness and how he responded. So now looking back on those, it was really, and of course, the Dale Earnhardt, his dying at the Daytona 500 on the first broadcast of that network race for Fox. So you reflect on all of these and you try to relate them so that the audience and somebody reading this will be informed but entertained and feel like they got behind the scenes in the mix. So I hope people check it out. Obviously it's an early pre-order, but around November, Christmas, when at a time when things are so divided politically, we hope people come together like sports usually does. It brings us together like the All-Star Game or the Super Bowl or the World Series, and that's always been the good thing about working in sports.
Chris Myers joins us. So, Chris, I'm freaking out about the Yankees again. They have a really good record, but every time I lose, I lose my mind. And they had the Orioles. They were about to sweep the Orioles going into the break. I saw you the other day on MLB on Fox. And as we look at the Yankees here with Aaron Boone, I don't think he's the right guy long term. And I have enough proof to see the Yankees not going to the World Series and winning under Aaron Boone with a heavy payroll, and Judge and Soto and guys have been banged up. They got Cole back. But handicap what the Yankees need to do if they're going to hold off or catch the Orioles and maybe start in the American League with the power teams that are there, because Yankee fans aren't confident they're going anywhere, even though they won that series in Baltimore.
Yeah, and I've heard your rant. I listened to you at Mad Dog Radio and the guys on Sirius talking baseball. And, I have a solution. If you go back to 2018 and Joe Girardi, it doesn't mean Aaron Boone's not a bad guy or a bad manager, but right now in this spot, go back to where the Phillies had to leave Joe Girardi. They fire him on the spot. Rob Thompson takes mm-hmm. over. Not only turns that franchise around, but my goodness, his career record, 30 over .500, what he's accomplished, what he's doing again this year, threatening a chance at the most wins ever for the Phillies. So I think if the Yankees, and the front office, by the way, is more responsible than he is, but if they feel like they have the right guy to put in for Aaron and make some kind of deadline trade, well then, okay, do it. Don't just do it to do it. But yeah, they're a playoff team in my view. They're not a World Series team for the reasons I'm sure that you've talked about on this show. And the problem is, they need some bullpen help. They could probably use another starting pitcher, but I still think that you can pitch around, and it used to be just pitch around Judge. So Soto and Judge, for them to have that kind of firepower, and you mentioned Gerrit Cole, which makes them automatically a postseason team, but then how far are you really going to go? And it depends maybe on what some of the other teams are doing in baseball. So, and what do they have to trade? What about the back end of the order? So those are the questions. And look, they're not the only one. It's interesting at this point, we hit the All-Star break. A number of the good teams, the Dodgers, you can hear their fans making the same case, but they have excuses with the number of starting pitchers in the injury department. Although they would like to add a bat. They're without Mookie Betts. He'll be back. Max Muncy looks like that's going to be a little longer term. So I think, and JT, there isn't that. If you go back to the 2017 Justin Verlander when the Astros made that deal, and right over 4 years there, he won two World Series rings. And the Astros look like they're coming on. They could need to make a move as well. Maybe pick up some offense with Alonso or if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. becomes available. But so everybody needs a little bit of something. But who needs it more? There just isn't that kind of, in my view, Crochet is not like a Verlander, and there's innings pitched and amounts. He's the top name you hear from the White Sox, so there isn't that instant answer. So I think it's going to leave things a little bit wide open, and maybe the best thing the Yankees have going for them is that, the Orioles are there, who I think will win the division, but there really isn't a dominant team in the American League. Mm-hmm. So that would give me hope as a Yankee fan if they make some kind of a deadline deal on the 30th.
Chris Myers joins us from Fox. So the Dodgers, I think they're going to be safe. Diamondbacks got better quickly here. The Padres and the Diamondbacks are 7 out. The Brewers have a 4.5 game lead over the Cardinals. But the Phillies are the story. That's a big lead. 8.5 over Atlanta. Acuña Jr. out for the year. Chris, is there one of these teams, as I said, that are good, a playoff team that is going to buy more pitching here at the All-Star break, and maybe some of the teams that will unload a good player or two, because even with two wild cards, they're not in it to win it long term.
Yeah, well, I think Milwaukee will look for pitching. The Braves always seem to, their front office makes the right kind of deal, and I think should the Phillies and or Dodgers stumble, that they're the next best team in the National League. Look, a pleasant surprise this year, Milwaukee, just like Cleveland in the Central. Mm-hmm. But I have the Cards and Padres making it in from the National League, mm-hmm. along with, you know, the Phillies, Dodgers, and Braves. And who's available? I mentioned Garrett Crochet, Perfetti with the White Sox, and it's going to take a lot to get Crochet. I think Zach Eflin might be a key guy, Tampa Bay pitching better. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard Jack Flaherty's name. Eovaldi could go back to, you know, maybe the Red Sox, and that's more on the American League side. But, yeah, the Phillies, you know, with the kind of offense they have, to have the kind of pitching now that they have, to have had five pitchers named to the All-Star squad, it's an all-time record for one team. I liked what they were building, but I just didn't see that coming. And so they have emerged as the team to beat, and I don't see that instant answer for the Dodgers, even if they get Yamamoto back. Kershaw's, you know, look, he's not the same guy. Walker Buehler, he may come back. You don't know what you can get. Dustin May is now done for the year. There's Gonsolin. So even if some of their pitchers come back, as you've seen with Garrett Cole, it may even take a while for them to get into a groove, which may not be in time enough for a World Series run.
Chris Myers, as we wrap it up, the NFL, a little too early to go here, but I found the Netflix series on receiver very interesting here, because the Niners have two players on the show, and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, who will be back. They're trying to figure out Ayuk long term here. The Niners, and Chris, you've covered so many Super Bowls, and remember when the Bills lost four in a row, Kittle and Deebo and McCaffrey, they're 0-2 in the Super Bowl. They've been very good, and both teams have had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl and relinquished those leads and lost to Mahomes in Kansas City. It's getting dicey here for the 49ers. They got some type of window. Do you expect the Niners to be the beast again in the NFC? Is that window is still open for them, but they got to push through. They got to get it done again.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think they're running out of time, and I do think they need more from the quarterback position, even though they, and I'm not knocking Brock Purdy, given where he was chosen and the position he was put in. And, you look at, too, people questioning, and I hate to when people do this, but those are the facts with Kyle Shanahan, who I think is, he's one of the top coaches in the NFL. We heard that about Andy Reid for all those years before he won a Super Bowl, even though he got there and got his teams there. So I think San Francisco, you know, I wouldn't put them, they're still talented, and but I mean, Detroit, Green Bay, those teams both had them on the ropes. San Francisco did prevail, but I think the Lions are right there. If you were going to say, hey, name the NFC team that you're more confident in, and I think the more complete team, you know, even though the 49ers have the experience, what the Lions did last year, hopefully learn from that, and I think Green Bay is another team that's coming on. I don't see the NFC East have an entry in that area. Mm-hmm. The Bucs will be good again in the South, but it's a fair question to, hey, is time not running out? And then window closing, the 49ers always reload, and they've got a good front office. But what's missing in that team that they can't win a Super Bowl, even though they can at least get there with Shanahan?
Chris, last one. Is there anything from all the big events you've done? And again, we're going to pre-order the book coming up here. Is there anything that compares with the start of a race at Daytona or Talladega when you're anchoring NASCAR on Fox, and compare that to calling an NFL game or being on the sideline at the Super Bowl? Because NASCAR still gets me with the flyover, the energy, the warm-up laps, and then when they start a race. That's still one of the top experiences I've had in my whole career at a sporting event.
Yeah, and I'm glad you shared that, because it's a great TV sport, NASCAR, with where we can put cameras and the sound. But, boy, when you go into a race in person, and everybody should try it at least once, it really feels and sounds like action. You smell the oil, the rubber, and the noise of the event. And it is. It's very patriotic. The national anthem has always means something to me before every event, every sporting event especially. But I got to say, on all of, you know, calling an NFL game, there's a certain kind of a rush, and we're just talking. But nothing beats in a World Series. Of course, there's a series of games there, but you get to a seventh game or one of those when the Red Sox or the Cubs break through, where you know a franchise has suffered so long with their fans. To me, though, nothing beats a Super Bowl. We use that phrase, the Super Bowl of racing, the Super Bowl of dog shows, of this, of that. And being on a sideline before that happens and kicks off, and truly knowing the world is watching, and the way the NFL has become such a powerhouse in the last couple of decades, it starts there, and then all of those others come next in line. But none of that ever gets old. For as much as I've been as a fan, and that's what's great about our business, we get to keep being a fan, and hopefully that continues for a while.
The book is ready for pre-order now, on sale November 19th. Chris Myers, that deserves a wow. Get a front row seat to some of the most memorable moments and unexpected events in sports history, and Chris is there for a lot of them. Chris, enjoy the rest of the summer. We'll gear up with you when football starts again.
Oh, yeah, can't wait. We'll get into your Raiders. Don't worry. All right, take care.
So please download Chris Myers' book and go out and support him, and I'm looking forward to seeing Chris coming back here to come to Vegas. He emcees a lot of events also around NASCAR and a lot of big sports seminars. So Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox and NASCAR on Fox. This segment of our show is brought to you by La Casa Cigars. Mike over at La Casa has got live music tonight. I got friends in town for CCON, the big sports conference that's taking place later on today over at Virgin Hotels, and a couple of buddies of mine I've been recommending, head on out to La Casa. They say it's hot. I don't want to smoke a cigar. I go, yes, you do. You go inside, beautifully air-conditioned, Woodson Bourbon Whiskey, Modelo's, Remy Martin. We get a lot of our partners that team up together. And maybe the best example of all of it is at La Casa Cigars in Tivoli Village. Also free parking. Got to say something quickly on free parking. I went downtown this weekend to see some live comedy. Quick plug to my buddy Mark Messina. Everybody in town who knows PR, music, big events, knows Mark Messina, a good friend of mine and my wife's, and he was doing stand-up. He hadn't done stand-up in 20 years. We went out downtown, parked at two different places, and they charge us for parking. Not the end of the world. Hey, downtown, stop charging for parking, or people aren't going to come downtown. I can see how some major resorts do it on the Strip corridor. I get it. What happened to downtown giving you the first 3 hours free as you're going into a downtown resort hotel? Let's fix that downtown. Love you. A couple of restaurants that I love there, including my buddy Barry's, best steak I've had in a long time, and I love good steakhouse. One steakhouse at Virgin, which I'm at a lot, and Barry's was fantastic. We got a chance to hang out with Barry, who was nice, had the sole. Man, got off the steak, had the sole, which is amazing, and the garbage salad, which is great. But please, downtown, let everybody, the locals and the people that visit and rent cars, have that three-hour free deal. Kind of a topic I was mentioning when I pulled out of downtown, which to me today is still a gauntlet. I always say, don't drink and drive. Don't ever drink and drive. Don't drink and drive ever. Getting out of downtown completely sober with those one-way streets is a challenge. Oh, and Frankie Sidoras, the great guitar player for Wolfgang Van Halen and Slash. He's the only rock star in the world that opens with his band, with Wolfgang Van Halen, what a band, and closes with his band playing guitar for Slash. We went to the Hard Hat Saloon, the Hard Hat downtown, if you're looking for a cool bar. Not a dive bar, a legendary bar that's been cleaned up by a rock star. Head on out to Hard Hat Saloon. We had a great time there the other night as we were wrapping it up downtown. More of our show as we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black. And anything you missed, you can download it on the podcast version at lvsportsnetwork.com. All right, JT, back with you as we continue on here. Raider Nation Radio on a big day today. We'll be back tomorrow full time with our final show in the countdown of all the games we broke down and turned into honorable mentions. And then we'll give you a fresh look. And then starting from training camp, even the Monday before, coming up this Monday, we'll start with the top 10 Raider games, 10 all the way down to 1. And I hope you're really going to enjoy it. Bobby put a lot of work into this. So have I, and a cast of a dozen have either agreed with me, disagreed, debated me. So a lot of fun. Speaking of debates, I was on the air last night at SiriusXM when the news broke that Skip Bayless is out at Fox Sports 1 with Undisputed. I used to interview Skip when he was a columnist in San Jose. He wasn't a bad guy. I'm not saying he's a bad, bad guy. I don't know him well. But, man, the way he treated Shannon Sharpe on the way out of Fox Sports 1, and Shannon, one of the most popular impressioned athletes in the world, one of the most critically unique athletes in the world, from his podcast to First Take with Stephen A., he's a gold jacket. I knew this was happening a couple of weeks ago, but I'm not a media critic who's going to break this type of news. So the end of embrace debate, at least for that time slot with Skip Bayless, and he made a ton of money, man. That guy made so much money doing what he did that he will go down as one of the great pioneers in sports debate history, even though it was really stale for a long time, and especially after Shannon Sharpe left. I'm a Shannon guy, so I'm happy for Shannon and for Skip. This chapter is coming to an end here pretty quickly. Pete Futek, kind enough to join us. One of my favorite college football insiders. Thrilled to talk to him from collegefootballnews.com. We just had the Big 12 at the end of last week here in Vegas. Didn't get a chance to meet up with him and check in, so I'm happy he's able to join us today. So, Pete, let's begin. Is there a Big 12 after Texas and Oklahoma left? What does the conference have to look forward to, Pete?
It's fine. You know, here's the kind of the thing, to go baseball on you, it really is kind of the money ball thing here. Can you replace Giambi and Damon? No, you can't replace Oklahoma and Texas, but you can, when I snap and point to you, Pete, you speak. It's, yes, we got to get on base. You got to get the four programs they brought in, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. None of them are Oklahoma and Texas, but together, those are four monster programs. Because remember, it's a Big 12, there's a lot of little brothers. There's an Oklahoma State, there's an Iowa State, there's a Kansas State, there's a TCU. They're not the monster programs in the respective states. Whereas Arizona and Arizona State are the two programs in Arizona. Utah, it's University of Utah, it's University of Colorado. So they're going to be just fine overall, but yeah. You don't get better by losing in Oklahoma and Texas, but they seem to have survived and moved on.
You know, in Vegas for the Big 12, Deion came, and Deion walked on the field at Allegiant Stadium, you know, home of the Raiders. He was asked about Shador going to the NFL, maybe to Vegas or another high-profile team. But I look back, Pete, and I had you on for it and a lot of other insiders, and I remember a year ago, less than a year ago, two different cable television networks were racing to get to Colorado, even if they didn't have a game. They wanted to infringe on each other's game day experience on the pregame show because Deion got off to that great start, and then they crumbled like a house of cards. What can you tell us that's new with Colorado and Deion with recruiting and what the forecast looks like for the Buffaloes this year?
Well, here's the problem. Like, let's say, forgetting the fact for a moment that they did finish last in the Pac-12, is that if it wasn't Deion, if it was just, you know, Joe Coach, you know, random, you know, and just it was just some normal, you know, faceless guy who wasn't Coach Prime, you would look at the Colorado season and say, you know, that's kind of a success because Colorado won one game the year before. That program was doing nothing, and they won four games. That's a good – and with an exciting brand of football. For anybody else, you look at that and say, okay, that, you know, that's just the rebuild. This is your first year. That's what you're kind of supposed to do, is you're supposed to build it back up. And so, but because of all the hype, because of all the hoopla, it was like, oh, gosh, they're the story in college football. They're going to – and they kind of were. You know, every game was sort of interesting. Every game was sort of fun. They could have very easily have gone 7-5 or 8-4. They could have also very easily gone, like, 1-11. But, like, that was kind of the show and the fun. So the problem with Colorado and how Coach Prime's doing this, and I am a Coach Prime fan, is that this program is all frosting, no cake. It's like you still have to – you still got to block and tackle. You still got to build up – you still need recruiting classes to build up your line. You still have to develop. You still have to find the guys. For whatever reason, it takes a couple years – of just weeding out the guys through the system to see who fits to get the right five for the offensive line. It took Harbaugh, you know, years to get that right mix at Michigan. It doesn't work overnight. And you can't just go out there and do this all transfer portal. transfer portal works when you get that missing piece of the puzzle. Again, going to Michigan, Michigan built up the line, but they every year they got the one or two guys that they needed for their lines who all of a sudden took them from okay to great. You can't just do, you know, you can't just do the quick fix, even though everyone wants that.
Pete Fudtech joins us, College Football News. Lincoln Riley, how much pressure is on him? Are the Wolves at the door? The USC establishment doesn't love him. The USC high-end donors do, who help bring him in there, and some of the elite at the top. But every typical USC fan that I talk to out west, they don't walk on the water of Lincoln Riley and think he's some type of savior here. What are you sensing happens to USC as they leave the Pac-12 this year?
Oh, it's crazy. I don't get it. I talk about a lack of patience. This is always my argument when it came to Harbaugh, where it's like, okay, Michigan fans, look at what he's done so far. It's not that easy. You know, it's the teams like Tennessee who have struggled to get back. Texas just now is getting back up to speed and prominence. Yeah, it's, you know, Nebraska still hasn't made it. Miami still hasn't really made it. Florida State, you know, has been kind of hit or miss over the last few years. It's not that easy just to get a coach and say, hey, you've got to be Nick Saban and win 12 games every single year. It just doesn't happen. And you're seeing this at Ohio State, too, where, you know, you've got Ryan Day, who's winning 89% of his games, and they want him fired. He can't, you know, beat Michigan. So fans are just fans. It gets forgotten that if Caleb Williams does not pull his hamstring, there's a real shot that they're going to the college football playoff in Lincoln Riley's first year there. Last year, obviously, the defense didn't get fixed. But, again, kind of like, you know, that's part of the game is games get close. But they came, you know, really, really close to winning a couple of those things outside of the blowout loss to Notre Dame and a few other things here and there. So I get it. But, again, you're rebuilding this thing. You can't just turn this thing around because there's a reason why he's there is because USC needed to change. Now, with that said, they do need that defense to be better right away. But my question to USC fans is, okay, if you don't want Lincoln Riley, who, oh, by the way, probably will become the Dallas Cowboys head coach if he's not the USC head coach, if you don't want that guy, then who is it? Give us your guy. Give us your one guy who is going to come here and all of a sudden make USC a thing again, because whoever comes in will be building on the back of what Lincoln Riley was able to create, and he's not going to be as good offensively.
Pete Fudtech, as we wrap it up. Pete, you have a team maybe outside the top 10. We always think of Georgia and the elite teams in the SEC and Ohio State and Michigan. Now that Harbaugh's gone, is there a team floating around that was maybe in third or fourth or fifth last year in their power conference that you think can make the run to one or two and be a real good high seed in the college football playoff?
No. Well, yes, they can be a high seed in the college football playoff. But here's the thing to remember. Is that now the high seed, you can, as long as you win your Power Four conference, you can be ranked 8th or 10th and get the 3 or 4 seed. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say Clemson wins the ACC, goes 10-3, and they win the ACC championship. And they rank, like, 11th in the final, you know, college football playoff poll. They're a 4 seed. So, in Big 12, that we just talked about, let's say the Big 12 is so even across the board. Let's say the Big 12 champion turns out to be, again, 10-3. They could be kind of ranked low, but all of a sudden they'll be up high, you know, because the top four seeds go to the top four conference champions. So we're going to have to kind of recalibrate how we see this. But to answer your question directly, it is Ohio State, it is Georgia, and there's about 100 feet between those two and everyone else. Not Texas, not Oregon, not Notre Dame, not Alabama. And if it's not Ohio State versus Georgia for the national championship, something went really wrong around the way, because those two, from top to bottom, are just seriously twisted talented. I mean, Ohio State got everybody. That team is that team should be beating everybody by 3 touchdowns each week, and Georgia's just about that good too.
Pete, last one. I've been dying to ask you that ever since we found out that Phil Knight, Nike owner, has made it clear now in his mid-80s that he wants to win at all cost, and NIL money is not an issue for him. He'll pay whatever. Is that big news that we're not seeing? What do you mean by that when there's no limit on the NIL, because my son's in that business now, and he's telling me, Dad, some kids are getting nothing. Quarterbacks are getting this much. It's not what you think. Most kids aren't making nothing or barely getting by. Why wouldn't every kid want to go to Oregon if the owner of Nike is willing to sit there and pay kids anything to win as he's getting older and older?
It's how the system should work. I'm all for players getting revenue. I'm all for players getting paid. I'm not for colleges, as someone who pays college tuition. I am not for colleges paying for, you know, to go get a linebacker. Some goofy booster wants to give a guy a tractor, or wants to give a guy a shoe, or give a guy whatever he wants to do. Go. I don't care. Knock it out. And you are seeing that. I mean, that's kind of how this is going to work, where if you look at college football over the years, there's only like 16 teams, 16 schools that have pretty much won all the national championships. There's no parity in this thing. And like I just said, who are the best teams? Ohio State and Georgia. Who are the next best teams? Alabama, Texas, Michigan, pretty much. I mean, the monsters. How do you forget Oregon for a second. Say if you're like Utah State or somebody like that. Let's say you do have some wacky billionaire booster who's like, I'm 98 years old. I want to see Utah State win before I die. I'm just going to give every player $1 million. Like, okay, good. Knock it out. So, hey, if it works, but you still got to block and tackle. You still got to win games on the field. And overall, it's just not cost effective necessarily. I think the NIL world is a lot easier in college basketball, because all you need are two or three guys and boom, you got it. Football, you need a whole army of players who all come through for you. And then you still got to play Ohio State and Georgia.
Pete, what's in college football news? You got rankings? What are you working on? What can we send everybody to?
Oh, here we go. It's finishing up all the team previews, all 134 team previews, win totals and all that kind of stuff. And then, starting up, we're starting to get there. It's starting to get close up in the mirror in the late July. So and all the rankings, all the All-American teams, all conference teams, all the fun stuff. And then it's all predictions from then on.
Thanks, Pete. All the best. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks to the great Pete Futek, and he's great. CollegeFootballNews.com, he's one of my bookmarks. One of the bookmarks that I have, because he's a content provider, really does a good job not getting too emotional when we start looking at who's good, who's not, who's overrated, and all that. Pete's really snarky, very quirky and very good. CollegeFootballNews.com, we appreciate him coming in here. Good start right there. And as we wrap this up again, today's CCon, so I'll be over at Virgin Hotels, our proud partner. It's a combination of all the powerful, powerful individuals in broadcasting and business behind Syracuse University and the power behind UNLV. So they came together to put on this really cool conference, and I'll be one of the moderators coming up here right after the show, and I'm looking forward to that. And a pretty cool group that I'm going to be moderating. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. As we continue on here, Bobby, thanks for putting this show together. It's kind of work in progress. Doug's going to have a bit of a best of show coming up here, Raider content, as I have to jump into this moderation panel coming up from Virgin Hotels here in less than an hour. So on behalf of myself and Bobby, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with our final honorable mention team. We'll jump in with that, and then we'll continue the summer series countdown to the 10 greatest Raider games of all time, as we go through all the honorable mentions and we hit the ground running here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Raiders!
Raiders! Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.